So we start with just having people, you know, say to the audience, it's a little difficult with the masks always, although, again, I could say about 60% I can figure out. Okay, and welcome to the people on Zoom. I guess Tuesday's show we'll have on Zoom, as things stand, because I want to keep it fair for the those of you who are on Zoom, for whom it's a better experience if it's only on Zoom. So tomorrow and Tuesday we'll be on Zoom, and Thursday again, if we want to switch at some point, make it 3 out of 4, if people don't mind on Zoom, then we can definitely consider that as well. Because it does seem that there are more people in the room, which I think is a good thing. For those who can be here, it's probably, you know, better. And for the yeshiva, certainly it's better. But again, those who are on Zoom are there for a reason, and it's perfectly acceptable as well. See, Avram's on Zoom in a very nice, comfortable chair, I see. Anyways, so let's begin. And we will start again the meetings, just, you know, again, to be available to speak to everyone. Again, I know that has been challenging given the realities, but we'll try to apply our time, even though things for some reason will get crazy, I think. But we'll work on that. Okay, so let's try to get through the Bittul issue. Again, I want to try to finish this off. Hopefully by Tuesday to finish off, so we can start again the next Shachatarya, because that's also quite dense. But obviously, this is a very critical topic, and what did I, you know, I did a really stupid thing. Okay, I left my Ramban in my office. Okay. Okay. We were really discussing the Ramban, and basically what I'm trying to suggest is that the, the Ramban's essay here is really very comprehensive one, and it touches really on all aspects of the topic, and I particularly wanted to, like, highlight some of the exchange, but first I'm going to go through the Ramban, and then I want to go back and, you know, even as a movie, we're kind of foreshadowing, you know, where Rabbeinu Tam, like the response, the defense of Rabbeinu Tam, essentially. You know, there's Rashi, then you have Rabbeinu Tam, you know, or Uri, you know, critiquing. And then you have the Ramban, you know, basically supporting Rashi, but kind of redefining or revising Rashi and attacking Rabbeinu Tam. And then, of course, you have the defenses of Rabbeinu Tam itself among you know, Chachmei's Provence in particular, again, like Maharam Chalava, and so on in Iri, in Bagan Avos. And then, of course, you have the Ran, which I've already suggested, is a kind of interesting, like you could call it evolution or development, in that it incorporates, and mostly is the Ruach of the Ramban. But again, it too becomes a way of rehabilitating Rabbeinu Tam, and I think in the process, a subtle reworking, kind of what the Ramban's main chiddush is about. So, what I'm trying to show is that, in addition to the very important details about the Chatzidua, and of course the Ramban makes, as well, in the side of Rashi, but in his own way. So in addition to the topics themselves, which are very critical to what it is that we are learning, the question of Chametz Yadua and She'eni Yadua, which is the Bittul, the question of the relationship between Tashbisu, Bayura, Biur, Bittul, etc. And especially, again, the Rabbi Shmuel factor and all of the above. In addition to all of that, which is indispensable to understanding these topics, and of course you have a fascinating sideline discussion about a Shas topic here, and that is, again, the question of Hefker and breaking down Hefker, you know, into different, dimensions or different types of perspectives about Hefker. So in addition to all of that, you also have, let's say, kind of a interesting self-contained topic, if you just like, you know, the conversation over the generations, if you will, but also where you see how the give and take produces more nuanced views, but also ripples across the system, in different issues. And just kind of point all those things out pretty much at the same
time.
Okay. So we had the Rashi. Rashi doesn't say anything about Afar. Rashi doesn't say anything about Rotsu Bikiyumo. For Rashi, it's just, Pitul Levar Shava. And Rashi has already significant in Chumash in what he says about the Pasuk and Tashbis. And Rashi, we've discussed, and within Rashi, there's still been a couple of issues, and how Rashi fits into the first Rashi, into some of the issues we've discussed as well. Politosis, we've also discussed pretty much, and we're going to have to go back to it, but again, I've suggested that in particular, Politosis are impacted by also their view, their psak according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Tosis psak and Kavzai in the base, and they mentioned other times in the Masechta. And I've suggested that really has, tremendous, let's say, residual kind of impact conceptually on how they look at things in particular. Unless you think it's completely evidence-driven, on the idea of, Tashbisu being la'achar zman yisuro, in comparison to nosar, but also just orientation, especially if you see Rabbi Yehuda as somebody who, is more about, seek and destroy, so again, the destruction, let's say, while Chametz is a ready asur, as opposed to the perspective of the Chachamim, which might be, to ensure that you don't get to that point, because it's destructive. Again, these are two perspectives on destructive or toxicity. One is something so toxic you don't want to reach the point where you, even confront it. And the other one is, no, it was like this battle, this struggle, to the end or to the finish. And you have to confront it and destroy it. That's the key. Again, is it a kiyum or is it more like an isa? And again, that's partly what a number of Achronim say about the Yudim Chachamim. Again, we'll keep bumping into this. So, how much did Rabbi Yehuda Nishma Lachachamim? How much did the Chachamim Nishma Rabbi Yehuda? Is appropriate. Depends a lot on this issue. But that's our Chaim's point in his way. Midchas Chinuch in his way, I believe it's already implicit in the Yerushalmi, and I think it might be implicit, it might help you, to help us, in the shiur before we adjourned, we discussed this in more repeat a little today, it might really solve a lot of problems, be able to say that, things are maybe true for the Chachamim, but not for Yehuda, and vice versa. So Tosis's general view of La'akar's Zonitsuah and the Raya from Yehuda, and the comparison to Nosar, all of those things are part of that story. So the idea of Lachas Mansur appears again and again in Tosis. The Psak from Yehuda appears again. The Nosar connection. These are all things that are consistently reinforced in the Bali Tosis throughout the Masechta. And then Natan had a very, very important Ta'ara last time. And I just checked it out. It was at the end of the Sefer Yashar piece. You can easily miss it unless you're into the topic, which we were and which he was. And that is the line that the comparison to Nosar has to do with Shane Chametz, and that is already found in Chitasso in the Hetera Bali Surah Bali issue. I believe it's also Ramban, Megiddo, with Chitasso. So that's the position of Bali Tosis. Then you go back from there, and then you come to the Ramban, so let's say Ramban is the next. Well, really, it's the Rambam, but Rambam earlier. But we'll get back to the Rambam. We discussed it mostly, and we'll get back to it, because Rambam always is a world in its own right. It's interesting in light of everything else. But in terms of the actual Shaka Vitaria, the next major phase or stage is Rambam. So the Rambam's presentation, as we have begun to analyze it, becomes very important. So the part of Chametz Yidu, I'll get back to sum up on Tuesday. Eitan and Aaron brought to my attention correctly Just one comment, just before we go back to it. But, you know, Ramban starts with Chametz Yadua, and the fact that Bittul works for sure with Chametz Yadua. I made the Ha'ara that also the language of Ramban goes a little further. It says, Apilu Chametz Yadua, the Nira, the Fanenu, Nami Sagile the Bittul. Why did he add those words, Vidira Lefanenu? So I think that's really, really important. You can find a little bit in some of the Chatner Kavans discussions as well, where they say, Vamichdam, I think I did Gibel Mahalad, also says that. Again, we're still a work in progress because I want to get back to just summarizing a couple more points about this. But Chametz Yadua, this great debate about Chametz Yadua, of course, is in its own right important and has implications. But Sefer Michtam, for example, Sefer Michtam speaks about this a bunch of places. And, you know, the Chachmei Provence in general were the ones who were really into this idea that Chametz She'ina Yadua alone is subject to bit, but that Chametz Yadua it won't work for them. The question then became, but got, you know, again, if you're looking at like the, you know, the history of the discussion, the girsa in the Rambam, you know, that he embraced this, like that became very important. And then the question is the right girsa, the wrong girsa, and that's a whole discussion, right, in the Kesef Mishnah and others. The Chachmei Provence, you know, claim the Rambam for their view. You know, why not? You know, if it's possible. So the Sefer Michtam, the Sefer Orchas Chaim, Barna Cohen, Miloniel, a bunch of others, they all quote, you know, the Rambam as being, as siding, you know, with their view. The Minat Torah Bebitul B'Yalma Sagi, Al Kol, this is the Michtam at Beis Am Dalet, Meiri quotes these also, Al Kol Chametz She'im Yadua, and then he adds, Ve'lo Haya Tzorech L'Chapeis Achadav. Okay? The nation, Bittul, so okay, well, the other part, we'll get to what Bittul does for them. Then on Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph, it's even more explicit. He says, Hadar Rina Bekamu Mekomets Bidaraisa Bittul Behalma Sagi, Lo Al Chomets Yadua, She'ef Sharlo Lavair Kamar, Raya Lavabar, right, Hadar Rina Begemara, Afiyam Arisha Be'erim Yantav, Atomer Be'erim Yantav, Ani Elam Be'yantav Atzma, right, Lamadnu Lavara Shi'av Malach. Right, so Zechar Michal brings a Raya, a bunch of Rishonim, but Chachmei Provence, from the Gemara that we're about to read, in the Gemara in Ha'eman Aleph, where the Gemara says that, you know, if the nature of destroying Chametz is, you know, is going to be on Yantav itself, what are you going to do for Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Ain't your Chametz on the Bisrei? Right? Hello? Now, so then the, because if you hold that Bittul works of Chametz Yadua, says the there are interesting rayas back and forth. Michtam says if you know works for Chametz Yadua, and the Miri quotes this raya too, then you know, then what's the proof? Meaning you'll just say that there's Bittul. Right? The truth is still probably a proof, because if the word Tashbisu means Bior, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it means Reifa. So then there has to be some outlet for... It's not really some question so much. But the point is that this is a case of... he's trying to show that Bittul doesn't work in Chametz Yadua. But the way he formulates it is, again... Lo al chametz yadua she'ef shalom leva'er kamar. Okay, and then when he talks about the raya, lemadu la'var she'ap lach, biva bittul sagi afilu b'chametz yadua hu mezuman, right, mahalchiyach nishan. Why add the word mezuman? And what's the she'ef shalom leva'er kamar? Halom enatar lo hutzak lo osam lach. Chei ma'ashom elom otza eitzim yehe yoshev u'bata. The Gemara on Chavzayim. If you're like Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have, you know, the ability to burn it. So what, you're going to do nothing? How are you? Not so much in Sixth Torah. You can do Bittul. Actually, that's a little bit of we'll get to that. Alas, Shmagina Lomer Bitul the Alma Sogi Ela Alas Fekos. Then he adds, Val Sheina Mizuman Levar. So what's a Sfekos and Eina Mizuman? Right? So this is why I suggested the other day that the Ramban, you know, who's taking issue, is also very careful and very specific. When the Ramban adds, Afilu Chometz Yadua, Benir Lefanein, meaning you could have been thought about it, and it is Mizuman. So that is where we get to the that distinction. It sounds like, because basically, you know, the evidence, most of the evidence that Ramban quotes, Talmud Yosef Lufnei Rabo, Yisho Nisam Gugelas, right? The Sugi Zandem Tes, he goes to the Karachasana, and he's going to Lomol as Beno, or, you know, Lishko as Pisco, Beniska Shesh Chometz Lepan of the Bidlo, right? These are all cases of Chometz Yadua, it's not a suffering. But they're all cases in which it's not Mizuman, right, Levar, because he's not there. And there's counter-pressure. He would have to make a sacrifice, you know, a spiritual sacrifice, in order, you know, to get there. So in some cases, impossible. So what level of it's a sliding scale. So some Rishonim say, again, the very fact that Ramban brings raya from those cases, that's how the Michtam and the Hashlama, you know, and so on. That's how they get out. That's how they would get out of this, you know. But the question is, what does it mean? The fact that the Ramban, Udimei, you know, are not impressed with that, you know, is also interesting. So I think what Aaron and Eitan brought to my attention was that, you know, maybe the raya from the Ramban, the best raya, that's the one that Kesef Ishel writes, is from Luskayar. I was just disturbed, I didn't read the Ramban that way, but in retrospect, I think they probably are right. What is it in Gluski Yafa that's the Raya? And this is maybe the weak point, but this is true. This is the Kesef Ishel's strongest Raya against this Shita. And that is what the Gemara says on the Bavli Beis. If you just. Do you have it? Go ahead. You have Bavli Beis there? And the Gemara is one line in the middle, and that's the question of how serious is that? Both things are Shiva. Sum up, and even here at the end of the Ramban, we're going to discuss a little bit Ramban's take on it. We have already discussed it earlier in that place. And then when we get to Bell, we'll speak a little more. A very difficult line in the Gemara, but a very important. Okay, so then, but this is the key line probably that we're going to Then the Gemara answers, Dono Mishkachas. Yeah, I'll let you read that part anyway because that's going to be crucial in a second. So it's this line in the Gemara where the Gemara says that Habodek Tzarech Sheivatel, and then the Gemara says, well, why just not do the Bittel, right? When he found that he's Bodek, right? Turns out that his Nika was flawed or whatever, you know, and then he finds a piece. Right, so the Gemara says at that point, you know, that you know, that's why it's good that you did Bittul before, Pashas, right? We'll see the Ramban later. So then the Gemara, but when the Gemara says, well, you didn't have to do Bittul before, I don't do bitoga. So the Gemara says, well, could be that, it'll be lachar zman isura already. Right? And once it's lachar zman isura, so then the bitol won't work because of this halakha that it's isura. But at that point, in that, I guess, part of the Shaka Batarga, where the Gemara thought that you could do bitol, that it's chametz yadua, it's a fanei. So that's probably the raya. The only problem is that all the Gemara, that seems to be a case where you do have the option of people. So what will the Chachmei Provence do with that Gemara? Again, that's why, the Kesem Mishnah and others, may have thought that Gemara is right. Of course, that is the only Gemara which is a Shaka Vatarya and a Hava Mina, not a Mitzvah. That's all the other cases, the Gemara's on Memtes, the Michtam and those have a couple of those too. They have Dav Hei, they have Dav Chav Zayin, right? Those both imply that Bittul doesn't work in Chavetz Yadua, as Shaka Vatarya's that are not Lahalacha. This is the Gemara as a Shaka Vatarya that implies that it does. Okay. So of course it's easy to say, well, that's the Gemara's music. That's number one. Number two, there are different ways to read that Gemara. As I said, we'll get to that. And maybe, it's hard to understand what that Gemara was talking about anyway, as Rishon would point out, because the Gemara says, Bimavata, the Tosis already on its spot. And Bahu Bez says, what do you mean Bimavata? The whole point is that it's a Guska Yafa, and it's Daita, Ale. So that's the problem of being Mevatalit now, too. To be Mevatalit before, when he didn't identify, he wasn't looking at it, he wasn't dreaming about it, he wasn't salivating, about it. That's one. But for the very reason that there's a problem that we can't rely on his alacrity in terms of Srepa, that very, very reason, maybe we shouldn't rely on it in terms of the middle. And that causes a question on moment days. Causes a bit of a different read. Here. Pirish below bottle the imab, that's what Rashi says. Kimo peruri, pirish kuz kasha, man parak. Kibish mak, kibish kaka slain the bottle. A pirish the diet the imab, it should cause something in the bottle. So, what I'm trying to show is that it's a very different, it's not just an ahab. Number one, it's ahab, all the other rayas are maskaras. And number two, it's a very difficult on all levels. However you read that Gemara, it's very difficult to read the whole Shaka Vatarya to figure out what the Gemara is. Like, what's the benefit of Bittul over Bir? What's the benefit of new Bittul, like, say, over new Bir? And so on. But alone, at least, that is a raya. I think they're right. That's what Ramban meant. And maybe that's why he adds, that's what he means by v'dira l'faneinu na. But you can see that the Michtam is dafka rejecting him. Right? He really, each time he mentions this halakha, he refers to the fact, he basically tells you how he answers the questions from, holei chlamlos b'no, lishchot pisco, to take part in the suda, the kabal p'nei mabo, etc. So again, this distinction between, the sliding scale, between whether you can do it or not, goes to, I think, to the question that we discussed, and that is, to what is the problem with any of the people becoming tzedu? So if it's either a kind of a pin velibo, does he mean this? We're not sure. How emphatic is it? Like the Ram says, that you should do bidika even though you do bitol, because maybe the bitol that you did isn't good enough. Maybe you're not sincere enough. It doesn't say it's about the issue of coming to do it, because he, like Ramban, is convinced that it's a non-issue. But the mentality of, bitol is a din b'machshava, You know, and therefore it's more amorphous, and there's always the question that maybe it isn't intense enough, or it's too much lip service, you know, etc. So you always prefer, you know, being. But it's important. And then the point is, and if you have the option to be mabayar, to really treat it like afar, the atma, and you don't, so, you know, how seriously should you take what you're saying? But that's a function of being, you know, mezuma l'fanacha, you know, and there being no counterpressure, right? So I think that's one way to look at it. That's the more technical way to look at it. In light of that round, although again, it's not for the round. By the way, I should add, I always thought and do think that that round is mechudash, and Ramban doesn't say that. Meaning the idea that bittul has to have a certain level, a certain intensity, it's kind of a, like a certain test for it. You know, like you're wondering to attain, you know, the proper level. All of that is, I think, kish. I don't think it's so posh at all. And I don't think we find it in the other Rishonim, pretty much, or most of them. Certainly not in our minds, we'll see. Because they think that people's mental, you know, if you do it, it's fine. So that is an interesting point. But that's one. What I prefer to say, what I was saying the other day, was that it's more than that. It's, if this is all about, that's how sincere the mental is. You know, and in light of the fact that, you know, if you were sincere, you know, you could do better. It's just the fact that you can do better, you know, neutralizing the comments per se. Meaning maybe the real thing is that even an objectively satisfactory bintel doesn't work the mako she'efshar l'var. Because maybe part of the din tashbisu, you know, is to do the maximum job. And therefore, if you can physically destroy, then intellectually, even, you know, fully, you know, negating it is a decision. That's a different point of what I said. They're not so different. But it goes to the core of, in the basic sense, that both of them, again, this goes to, you know, the one pasuk issue possibly as well, meaning two different tracks, you know, that have nothing to do with each other, or, you know, two different, you know, methods or methodologies, you know, of negating the comments. In which case, when you look at it the other way, so then, okay, what about the people who are going to say that comments yadua is fine? You know, so what are you going to say for them? And I think the answer is that, you know, either two tracks, and they're not very different, or they'll think, even if it is all one, but it's all one except the meaning. I think it's an interesting question, whether or not the ability to physically destroy something as opposed to intellectually, you know, and emotionally, spiritually, let's say, denouncing it, you know, is stronger or not. I think you can really understand it in both ways. You can see the appeal, is what I'm trying to say. Especially if the whole idea of comets is, you know, not just, but to treat it as toxic in one way. If you really can't, maybe that's where the round comes in a little bit also. But you have to really be, you can't just, you know, mouth the words. And you have to kind of put yourself in a mindset, you know, where you relate to that. And, but if you can, maybe on the intellectual side that's equivalent or even more. You know, maybe it's even equivalent to Rabbi Huda's strength, frankly. You know, and maybe it's stronger than the Chacham and Zashmas and so called up. Okay. So these are things to think about in that. I just want to get back to the other one that Noam made. Noam seems to be on Zoom today, right? So, and that is also the distinction we still have to pursue, which is made by the Achronim, between, you know, Bittul, you know, to solve some of the evidence also. You know, Bittul, comments. Again, I just made the whole, you know, bigger argument of it, and I believe it. Noah mentioned the other day, which is a view in the in quite a number of the Achronim. Noah, which is? I'm not hearing you. But I think it's because you're muted. Is anybody on Zoom unmuted, or maybe we did we do something to them by putting them on the screen? I mean, we put them on the screen so we can enjoy seeing them, but we totally muted them too. They have no voice. Or does it come from my computer? Is my sister be able to do something for them? Ask to unmute. I see Moshe. Let's see. Hold on one second. No, no, Noam is good. He should be good.
Rabbi, they say that they can hear you, and so it must be something with that.
They can't hear me?
They can hear you.
Cannot.
Can, yes. Perfect.
No, they can hear me, but I can't hear them.
I know. It must be something that sounds.
Yeah, you can hear me, right? Ellie's giving me the sign.
Is there any volume on?
What?
Oh,
I don't think so. Let me check. Hold on one second. No, volume seems okay. Digital audio? This seems okay. Nope. Yeah, no, that's it would be this. It's the same thing. Hold on one second. So what would it be? Okay, sorry about that, everybody. There are probably thousands of substantive questions that could torpedo everything I'm saying. Like, Moshe looks like he wants to take it apart. No? You're agreeing. Okay, thank you. Always good to have Moshe's support. So, is there something we can do?
I don't know. It's still not working.
Okay, we're going to try to figure it out. Should we disconnect and see? Can we disconnect for a second? Just to see?
Yeah,
you can. How do we do that?
Okay,
I'm going to disconnect that just one second. And then we're going to get back to the show. Okay. Noam, we got you? Try again. Do you have to click that off? Yeah, go ahead, Noam. Okay, 1 second. Go ahead, Noam, do it again.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes, and your friend was saying that Fitto works for Balirat, it was called Balirat, but not for Tashbisa.
Okay, so of course that helps you navigate all the evidence that you want. By the way, but even if, so we'll discuss who says that. That answer of distinguishing between Balirat and Tashbisu. Okay, we'll have to try to figure out how to do both, right? We're not going to give up so easily. We're maximalists here. We aspire to do it all within reason. I shouldn't say within reason. I'll say within proper parameters. Right, so this distinction between Balirat and Tashbisu, I already mentioned the other day, is part of a bigger topic, namely, what is the relationship between Balirat and Tashbisu? Right, in terms of this man, as we discussed, in terms of this issue, Chametz Yadua, Chametz Sheni Yadua. We'll see that this is an issue regarding Nashim. There's a whole discussion, make sure I speak about it on Daf Hei. Where the Shagas Aryeh, and they speculate about the Rambam in terms of Lavanita Klase, whether women are obligated in the mitzvah of Tashbisu, meaning is it a mitzvah seishas man grama, and on the other hand, it's connected to Balirat. According to the Gemara Daf Tzadi Hei Omer Aleph, it's connected to Balirat as a Lavanita Glase. Some people say, yeah, that's exactly the point. The Rambam doesn't, I think the Yifei Naim or somebody, the Rambam doesn't have that halacha, as we already mentioned. The Rambam doesn't paskin that Balirat is Lavanita Glase. Maybe because of that. So that's another interesting, there are a whole bunch of issues whether you can split Balirat from Tashbisu. I suggested the other day that even the pressure or counter pressure between of Zmani Suro or Lifte Zmani Suro, even that itself may depend on this question. Because if you think that Balirat and Tashbisu are connected, right, which one is the driving force? Right, are they connected but they're two dinim? You know, there's a not saying aloud, there's a kiyum and an iser, or is it that the iser is a onesh for spurning or neglecting the kiyum, or that the kiyum is an extra reward for being careful about the iser? All this may dictate also a couple of things. Number one, again, how emphatic and how kiyum oriented, how kumbase oriented is the tashmisu? Or how oriented is it just to make you sure, you know, that you don't have bayura kind of consequence in your chametz? So again, maybe Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, which touches on Reb Chaim's view that, you know, Reb Chaim argued that the Rambam does not think that bayura is a labanita klase because he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Because he paskes like Chachamim. Meaning, whether Tashbisu is considered Nita Klase, you know, or not, Hufa depends on Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. That and the question of, you know, Nasis Mitzvasa. So, this question of the relationship between them, you know, whether you can split them, and even if you don't split them, you know, how independent they are, and if, even if they're integrated, you know, which one is the dominant one, may very well affect, may be dependent on Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. But Gufet also may be dependent on, it may dictate the question of, you know, Lifnei or La'achar Zman Yisur, for the very same reason. Again, the more you think that, you know, you're talking about a kumvase, you know, you might want to think that you're doing that Bisman, you know, Bisman Yisur. Whereas, you know, if it's more to ensure, you know, that you don't violate the law, then, you know, probably making sure in advance that when the clock ticks, that you are at that point, you know, free and clear. Now that's going to be the key, you know, accomplishment or the key goal, you know, involved. So again, like Atosis versus... Again, so Balitosis, they're Rabbi Yehuda people, they're Lavanita Class A people, you know, very much in contrast for a bunch of reasons, you know, for the Rambam. But having said that, maybe that's Gufa also related to this question of the relationship between Biur and Bittur, again for the same reason. So, you know, what Noam's saying is true, it's in the Achronim very explicitly, and it's to navigate the evidence, or the mixed evidence, about Chametz Yadua. But, you know, when you think about the logic behind it, you know, what you might say is, yeah, Bittul, you know, as opposed to Biur, you know, again, if you're talking about Rabbeinu Tam's Bittul, for sure, you know, that's not even Tashmisu. But let's say, you know, it's, they're all derived from one pasuk, and then the question is, are they equal, or is there a dominant, and which one is dominant? That becomes also part of this, you know, issue. If you say that Bittul is midin bal yira and not even part of Tashbisa, then it's pasha. Again, Rashi says that Bittul and Bir are part of the same pasha. And then you have the machlokas of Rishonim. Are they equal? And even if they're equal, are they two examples or are they two tracks? Something we just discussed. Or, you know, and Iker and Tafel. In which case, which one's Ikar, which one's Tafel? We saw that already. Between the various Rishonim, Ben David, Ritva, Aram Chalava, Ram, etc. But that all may be also a function of this question. Right? Namely, you know, Bittul versus Biur, and maybe it depends which Biur, Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim, right? Which is a bigger kiyum of Tashmisu. And maybe there are two dinam of Tashbisu. Tashbisu is a kiyum, and Tashbisu is kind of a, you know, like an extra credit, you know, for ensuring the Bal Yira part. But let's go further. The Ramban and the Ran, as opposed to Rashi, even though they're within the orbit of Rashi, we'll see this later in the Ramban, but we've already seen it in the Ran, so we can already talk about it, suggest that Bittul may be part of the Xeris HaKasuv of Lo Yira, not part of Tashbisa. Maybe Tashbisa means Biur, right? And Bito, unlike Tosis, who says it's just hekatimtzi, right? For Tosis, it's clear that Bito only has to do with Bai Rabbi Matzah. Right? But that's because Tosis thinks it's not included in Tashbisu or in any other Gzeres HaKasav. It's a Metzias. No big deal for Rabbeinu Tam. The whole discussion doesn't get off the ground. Right? But for the Rishonim, for whom this is a real discussion, right? So maybe it depends whether it's included in Tashbisu, how prominent it is in Tashbisu, how we understand that coexistence. Or, if it's not in Tashbisu, it's only in Bayuah, and that's particularly significant. Okay. Having said all of this, and explaining it now that might help, you know, navigate the evidence of Bittel, is it also possible that there are two types of Bittel? Right? And maybe that would also, meaning, instead of taking the Achronim view, which is, oh, Bittel, there's no Bayira, but of course, you know, there's no Kiyut Tashbisu, which depends on a lot of the things I just said, three or four or five things that we just rattled off. Maybe another approach would be to say that there are two types of Bittel, meaning the Bittel that, you know, is your last alternative or your only alternative when you have a Safek, and there are different levels here. Bittel of Safek, then there's Bittel B'makom, right, She'i Efshar Leva'er, I mean, literally, Yevshel Levayer. And then let's say a third case, or a third category, and that is Bittel V'mokom, where there's counter pressure. You know, there's a good reason not to be Levayer and to rely on the Bittel, but it's still Efshar. Let's say you could run home. Right? I'm saying, where do you draw the line? And what about even further than that? But this is all, this third category is all, you know, these are different lines within the third category. Right? This, again, the three categories are Safek. You don't know that there's Chametz Yadua. Right? Then there is, you know, Yadua, but Efshar. And then I'm saying there's Efshar, right, but Eino Mezuman is counter-pressure. Counter-pressure for Korban Pesach might be different than counter-pressure for, you know, Sudas Eirusin, it's an earned tour. But let's say also things like, you know, other, again, less, you know, counter pressure. Gluska Yafa, you know, type issues. Okay, so that's a third category. But that's all within, let's say, what the, you know, Michtamu Di'ime, you know, seem. Happen. Let's say you go one step further. Let's say you get to the, pure Chametz Yadua Umezuman, right? So there may be, maybe in everything else, it's a Kiyum and Tashmisu. In addition to preventing Bal Yura. And here, it still prevents Bal Yura. Right? But there's no Kiyum. So instead of just taking it lock, stock, and barrel, although that might be, I'm trying to show there's sufficient basis for that, and some of the things that we are, you know, experiencing, you know, they say, oh, it's all just Bayra. Maybe Gufa, the different, you know, circumstances of Yadua and any Yadua, you know, divide up in that way as well. Okay, so we'll get back to, so I just want to get back to line. Language of the Kesef Mishnah and Rabbeinu Manoach and some of the Achronim on this, but that's at least the way to be thinking, at least, about Chametz Yadua. Yeah, Binyamin. Do you have a thing, or you can shout. Go ahead.
Can maybe just re-explain, please, how for the Ramban you can be the Vatel Chametz Yadua, even though meaning to get around the Yerlokan? I just didn't understand what Rebbe gave.
Say that again?
Rebbe gave two explanations.
What do you mean gets around?
Meaning, if you think you can do Bittel on Chametz Yadua, so how, like...
No, it's the opposite. The Ramban is saying that Chametz Yadua is not an issue in Bittel. Okay, you could do Bittel on Chametz Yadua. I was just, originally I made the ha'ara that the rayas are all cases where at minimum there's counterpressure. You know, and Aaron and Eitan were correctly pointing out, like the Kasa Mishnah, that there is one raya, which seems to be stronger than that, and that is the gluskayafa hava mina, that, you know, why don't you be mevatel it when you find it? And that I was saying, I think that, you know, for the Ramban that may be very true. I think there are two possibilities in the Ramban. Either that that's the main raya and that's enough, or he just doesn't think that this whole idea of pressure, counter-pressure, especially when it's efshar, or he just doesn't think that this sliding scale idea, you know, matters one way or another. That's the fact that you could do the pivalibo shove in, how serious is your bitul when you, you know, just as easily could light a match, or how, you know, this isn't the kiyum tashbisu sufficiently, or maybe not even bayurai, you know, because that too depends on rotsu bikiyum, rotsu bikiyumo, and so on. Let me talk about that in a minute also. And therefore that distinction is just not accepted. I think those are all possibilities within, you know, the view, you know, of Ramban. That's, I'm just adding a little bit to what we said before. In other words, the Ramban may just say that these distinctions that the Michtam and others are hinting at are not compelling. Either it works b'chametz yadua or it doesn't work b'chametz yadua. It also may be because the Ramban attributes a very high level to the bittul, as we'll see in a moment, and something very, you know, specific to Dinei Chametz, or Mishmo, which we'll get to, we still have to it a little behind. So maybe that's part of it as well. That's what I'm saying for the Ramban. For the Michtam and for the Meiri and those who hold, you know, that there is a distinction, you know, I say, what do they do with the Gemara of the Havamin and Pliska Yafa? It doesn't trouble me as much because of all, it's the most shaklamataria and the most problematic shaklamataria of that. But I'm just pointing out that they don't say any chametz yadua no matter what circumstances. They say if it's mezuman, venira, and you have another alternative. So what was your question in light of that? I didn't understand
the
question.
I was curious, for the round, if we define tashbisu as doing the most maximalistic destruction of chametz,
yes.
So then...
Oh, so how could that be with bittul yachametz yadua?
Yeah,
I'm saying because the Ramban may very well say, number one, he may not agree with that. He may say whatever, you know, there are different kiyumim of tashbisu or bayura. Again, the Ramban has two days whether he accepts Rashi that bittul is part of tashbisu or by, or like this sifr, or like the what is it he's quoting, the mechilta, like the mechilta, you know, that is based, it's rooted in the bayura. He has two days on that. But he just may not accept, I think I wanted two levels. Either whatever works, works, and there are two tracks. I think if you read the Ramban carefully, which we will in a minute, he does think that Bir is the main, meaning what the Ritva and others say. He thinks that Bir is not like the Ritva and the Maram Kalabah and those. He thinks that Bir is the main. So I think, you know, it, you know, but it could very well be that he holds that whatever works, works. Even if there is a lechatchila, but it's not a b'diavad. And I'm also adding, given that the Ramban's intellectual disavowal, right, is a particularly sophisticated one, which we'll see in a moment, I think that helps a lot. Okay, does that answer? Okay, great. So we have, like, challenging way, we have basically a challenging perspective according to the, you know, those who deny the problem of chametz yadua, as well as a challenging perspective for those who embrace it. Okay? And in between all of this, this idea of distinguishing between tashbisu and bayura, or two types of tashbisu, or two types of chametz yadua, and where you draw the line, becomes very important as well. Okay, let's get back to the Ramban, because we really have to move on. So the second thing that we discussed in the Ramban was the issue of Hefker, and that we still have to complete as well. But the thrust of it was, a simcha? What would you say? His critique of Rabbeinu Tam.
The rules of Hefker don't really work with
Hefker doesn't really work. He has an array of questions, Kedarko. There are linguistic questions, there are structural questions, all of which, you know, is the Ramban's fully comprehensive way of looking at everything. You know, you can see it in his Parashat Torah, you can see it in all his He said everything in Ramban. So he has it all. But the main point, of course, always the stronger point, is the point of the substance, right? Namely, you know, Gimel, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Belev, the Lashon, not just that it happens to be different Lashonas. This Lashon shouldn't work. What does Ufer have to do with anything, you know, in the Nusach, etc.? And therefore, Rabbi Natan says it doesn't work. But in addition to that, he also adds two critical questions along the way. Namely, one is, and whoever told you, how do you know that Hefker is Pater from Bal Yerovai Matze? Right, that was an assumption in the Balei Tosis that they felt didn't even need to be proved. Correct? And a huge, you know, challenge in the Ramban. Now that challenge is partially based for sure on the Yerushalmi, where there seems to be two deus about Hefker, as the Ramban points out. And that's also a typical thing, where Ramban scoured, you know, the Yerushalmi, and much more expansive insight. Where does some Yerushalmi's impact of Yerushalmi's, etc. So that's a critical question. But that isn't just a technical question, you know, does Hefker happen? It's a dual issue. On one hand, it's a Hefker issue, right, comparing Hefker to the Bailus of Kadshin and the Bailus of Akum. And again, the way the Ramban formulates it is so critical, right? You need two psukim for Nachri, you know, in both cases, there's a lack of personal Bailus. So if the Mechayev of Bal Yerua is a lack of personal Bailus, I mean, if the Ptur of Bal Yerua is a lack of personal Bailus, who cares Kivshasa, lo Kivshasa? That's an important point. So what do we see from there? So, but basically, there are two points to consider in the Ramban. Right? One is the Bal Yerua, the local point. And that's what he's trying to prove from the two psukim. Meaning, you know, it's hanging by a thread, this Ptur, you know, Akum. And it has to do with Bailus Akum. And therefore, you might be mechalik between different types of Akums. Like, how acherim are these Akum? How, you know, comfortable are you with them or in your reshus? You know, how mufka are they from Jewish life? You know, and therefore any kind of tziruf, you know, to the previous owner. That's really what he's saying. And that is a critical question. Now again, that's an interesting question to think about, especially also in light of the Ramban, you know, big chiddush coming up about Rabbi Ishmael, meaning how, to what extent default is it easy or difficult to violate by Rabbi Matzah? Is kind of what I'm saying. Right? And of course that looms larger when you think about Rabbi Ishmael, you know, and especially the Ramban's dialectic in Rabbi Ishmael. I'm just getting ahead of myself, but we did this part of the Ramban. But it would stand in its own right, frankly. And that, but that's what the Ramban is kind of accentuating when he says, you know, who told you Hefker, you know, is immune from Bal Yerua? Okay. So that has to do with Akum, Bailus Hektesh, having its own identity. There's evidence for that. When we talked about Socher and Maske, I already mentioned this. Because again, you have also Mafkin and Nifkad, and you have Mocher and Lokeach. Right? If the criterion in Bal Yerua by Matzei owns, again, we'll get back to this when we get to Haman Beis, is, you know, your ownership or your lack of ownership, then, you know, it's a davar pasha to chart that. You know, we know from the world of Kosher Mishpat when you're an owner and when you're not. And a Mocher and a Lokeach, again, Mafkin and Nifkad is still going to be complicated. Because that's an, you know, embassy, and that's an interesting relationship. And you might be mechalek between different shomrim. You might say Socher and Shoal are different than Shomer Pinim and Shomer Sachar. That's going to be tricky, and that's going to depend on Rishus versus Bailus, and a little trickier anyway. Okay, and I'm not even going to get into the Rishus issue right now, physical Rishus issue so much. But obviously the more physical Rishus matters as opposed to Bailus, and the more you get away from the absence of your own bailus being sufficient to determine. So what you're really saying is, that you need a bilis apoteris. You know, that's why you might need two psukim for an akum and hekde. So in the world of, let's say, trumas of isteris, lamashal, right? The idea that there's a special status for akum and for gavoa is established by different shitas. We're not going to document them right now because that'll take us too far afield. There too, in many areas of halacha, right, where, you know, whether it's challah or trumas ha'maaseros, you know, and you know, all sorts of dinim across the spectrum, right? The question of, you know, the absence of your own ownership as opposed to the ptur or the hafka of an ownership which is mufka. In those cases, you always have to weigh hekdesh, akum, and frankly, hefker. Right? So what the Ramban is saying here has tremendous implications for Bali Ra in terms of status quo and how difficult default, you know, but if I don't own it, according to Bali Kosa, then there's no Bali Ra and it's a mitzias. Not even exerts akasa. It's simply not lachem. But the Ramban fixes it. The Ramban's whole issue in his Perush al Torah and the whole discussion of the Shagas Aryeh about other Bailus Shol Yisrael is connected to the Ramban here too, for sure. But that's only one aspect. The other aspect, as we discussed last time, is that the Rabbeinu Tam, you know, seems to be, by equating Hefker with Bailus Shol Acher Mishol Gavoha, is certainly making a Bayura statement, of course, but he may also be making a Hefker statement. Namely, the idea that Hefker is, you know, is a kind of, you know, Rishus. It's a kind of Hakna, not just the Siluk. Or no. Again, if all the Bali Tosis need is the absence of your full ownership, then as long as the Siluk does that, that's sufficient. But the Ramban may be challenging that too. Maybe the Ramban is saying Hefker isn't Bailus. It's not Gavoa and Akum, Bailus Hamufkas. Is it Hakno and Bailus at all? But frankly, is it even full Siluk? So the Ramban has the line, you have it there, Simchat, you know, we read the other day, I want to read again, where he talks about, and what about Zechiya Liatzmo? That's a critical piece. Have it? Here on Hefker, it says, one second. Let's not finish, so we'll try to finish this on Tuesday, but. One second. They're starting from the Odeshi Suffolk, the Hefker, I think, right? Oh, no, one second, is that it?
Yeah.
No, before that, you're right, before that. Alpha Shalom, what's again? Yeah, no, I think the audition's up, go ahead. It's not by them, but it's also lav d'achirim. Is that really true? See, number one, it's not bailus like a bailum hapturim, like gavoa d'akum, and they giving you the trumas ha'maaser skala. Other areas of halacha too, b'chor. But he's also saying, what do you mean leisle bailum? Well, the truth is it's in limbo, right? But al pidin in the lumbus, this is a big question, right? Is it already, it's like like a brera, it's like oveg lios, you know, biad misha, you know, koneo? Or is it Rishus? Is there something called Rishus Hefker? Right, the Ramban is pointing out that it's in limbo, meaning it's siluk, but it's not akimo. And but then he's going to point out that it isn't even necessarily full siluk. Go ahead. Here it sounds like it's not yours, which it isn't. Because it's a heter. Meaning default, it's also unless it's a heter. Right? The iu matzi, but here's a line. The iu matzi zochi be'minashe tvei utvei mishekid shasa. So that is a key line because you could have said, it's just not gaboa ba'aku. And then you could have said, and it's not hakna, it's limbo. Right? But this is the third point, unless you think he may be using it to reinforce the second one, but it is a separate idea. Meaning it's biyado lezakos tveu tvei mishekiv shasa. So that's a way of saying, what, that it's not hakna, that it's siluk? Or is that a way of saying, and even as siluk, it's not mufka from you sufficiently, it's still mitzuraf to you, because biyado lezakos. Now again, biyado lezakos, again, the counter-argument is to say, what do you mean biyado lezakos? Even if it's hakna, it's biyado lezakos. Right? So again, if you think it's hakna, lemisha, sof sof, yizke, v'yikne, so you say, oh, then yochal lezakos, you know, becomes a problem. You know, he gave it to himself, or he's the one. But I don't think that's what he means. I think it's more, he would have said, right, it's now siluk, or it's now birshus, meaning when he's zocha as a third party. Ramban's saying no. When he's zocha, that's always an undoing of the hefka. That's not so pasha. Right? You know, the Gemara, if you look at Bava Kama, we'll discuss it maybe very briefly when we finish this up. You know, mashkin, you know, the Gemara discusses the difference between Meiser and Peah. You know, if he's mafkir, then the next morning he gets up and he's zocha, again, you know, whether there's a ptur. So the Gemara is mechalek between Meiser and Peah. But it reinforces this idea, you know, and it's very, you know, very subtle distinction between different, you know, chiyuvim. Sometimes when you're zocha, right, it's as a third party, and sometimes when you're zocha, it shows that it was never mufkelagamri. The fact that you could still be zocha means it's only siluk. That's what makes it only siluk, or it makes even the siluk, you know, less mufka from you because you're reclaiming. You're not claiming anew like a third party. That's why he says, Gabze Efshar Shu Mutter. So what's fascinating about this is, if you look at the response to it, so I have to stop in a minute, so we'll have to get to the next part later. So let's just go to this part first. If you look at the Magen Avos, did you, Simcha?
Yeah.
In Yon Yod Ches.
I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to do, but the
say that again? Did you see this part of it? This part where he responds. This whole, of course, Magen Avos. Here, did you get to... the whole Magen Avos is a response to the Ramban. Correct? Like a pointed response to the Ramban. It's a fascinating piece. Again, it's part of this whole interesting Shaklam Tarya. A defense of Rabbeinu Tam. Elim Kush Yosef Shel Arav Shein Machrias L'Stiras Devar of Rabbeinu Yaakov. Right? And then he goes one by one. So what does he really, really think? We'll get back to that. I guess we'll finish this up. I have to run in a minute. We'll finish this Tuesday. Hopefully all of us. But I wanted to also the Shabbos part. What are the questions of the Ramban is? From Hefker. You can't be Mafkir B'Shabbos. How can you be Mavatel? Shabbos and Yontif. How can you be Mavatel? Right? So the interesting, the Be'iri takes him up on that. You have that? Umasha Hitcharab Biravias?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Ubizu Shadinu Shabivatlo. Mifanin, Arba Bechamesh Kupo. Yeah. You could skip a little bit. Hare Isa Lamar Behedja, Shemafkir on Shabbos. Counter evidence that you could be Mafkir on Shabbos. Even though you can't be Makdish and you can't be Makadesh. Go ahead. Oh, so the Meiri himself, interesting in light of the Ramban. The Ramban, on the one hand, is the one who's saying, again, I think the Ramban is making the argument on different levels, that well, it doesn't bother me, but I think it's fascinating. It's not Gaboa of Akum. You would have been Mechalik between Akum and Akum. That's the first point. Then you could sustain the view that Hefker is Hakno. Right? But it's just not a Hakno Shoptur in the same way. But then comes the other level, and that is, maybe it's not Hakna at all, maybe it's only Siluk. And then, maybe not only is it Siluk, not only Siluk, but it's not Siluk where your Tziruf is Paka. But the Meiri at least is saying, with regard to Shabbos, he's wrong. Hefker works on Shabbos. And the reason it works is because, and here the language is interesting, Hefker ein bo Hakna l'shum Adam. Is he saying, Hakna le'adam, that's masomatam, that's also. Hakna le'shus hekde, le'shus hefker, or Hakna le'misha, you know, sof-sof, yavavi yizake, but there's no specific individual at the moment, that kind of Hakna is not also b'shabbos v'yantov. Or is he saying that it's siluk, and it's not Hakna at all, and that siluk is not also b'shabbos? Right? On the one hand, the contrast to Eimbo Akno L'Shum Adam, but it seems like a little more like the first, right? But Arezek Kibitel Rishus Shanasa Ap B'Shabbos is more like Siluk idea. And the Ramban thinks that what? Even Siluk, or there is some element of Kinyan Le, as far as Shabbos is concerned? It's an argument about Shabbos? Hard to know. Okay. Then, as far as the next point is, and then I have to go in a minute. Did you do the part? The chayim mashi hitcha b'shminis, the middle shel acherim. Did you do that part?
No.
That's the part you didn't get to. Here's where the Meiri takes on the idea that maybe Hefker is different than Akum and Gavo. The Chay Ma Sheheit She B'Shminis Middle Ohav Shal Acherim B'Iu Nami Matzi Zachi Bei Minolan D'Shari. He says, Zu Vadai T'niya Ma Inyan L'Ischayev Bo Acher She'in Shalo. Which is fascinating because many of the Chachmei Provence think when it comes to Mafkid Nifkad that it isn't so Pasha at all. Masker Socher, including the Meiri. But I guess he thinks that's still different than, you know, Hefker. Ma inin l'skai v'achar she'in shalo. Haga atzmecha. Kishyevkiro ze, afa pisha lo zacha v'achar, mi mechaya be'iyu? Hare inadavar toli ela shalo yehe shalo. V'chol she'in shalo, afa pisha'in lo bailim, Vadai, Ifka, Chiyuve. It's very clear. Right? This is a defense of Rabbi Natan. If lack of bailus, we don't care that there's bailus acheres. It can be siluk, even like what he said before. It works on Shabbos, or it doesn't belong to any other individual, so what? The Afbi Yerushalmi Matzasi came to Hedja. He reads Yerushalmi in a different way. He doesn't think it's That's how he reads Yerushalmi. She'll keep in Lahafkir Ligmor Gomor El Hatarat Malachar Pesach. But in Achanami, Hefker, even if it's Siluk, there's no Bayer or Bayimatse. 1 second. Nitsha Kusha Sarav Shein Makrios Listiros Diver Ben Yaakov. Yeah. Okay, so I want to finish up with this. In my opinion, the Meiri is saying much more. Earlier, when he discusses the problem, the other problems Ramban raises, I mean, what's the afar here? You know, what about Shlosha? What about Adosia Glili? So I think there's a little bit of ambivalence in the Meiri. I want to talk about Maram Chalaba's response and the Meiri's response and Ben David's response to this. But again, I think that there's a point at which the Meiri Lishitaso, maybe, is moved to think of Hefker in terms of Siluk, but that that's enough Lishitaso for Bal Yira. It says, Elohim Kushasa, with this will stop. Elohim Kushasa Shalarav, Shazeshi Hiksharav, Hek Hefker Talo Ishtamet Talmud Shum Dukta Lemikre Hefker. Ain kabbalas harav shu hefker gomor. Elu ke'ain hefker le'inyan zeh, shalayei kori mamono ad she'lipo olav l'shmirasi. Elu she'yei hefker ofar hamunach l'drisas hakol. Now, again, the few times, Rabbeinu Tam, he's saying, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't think it's hefker gomor either. But he thinks, there's enough hefker, enough dimensions of hefker here, that it's afar munach ledrisas kol, and that's enough. And then later again, ein bitul zeh nikra hefker lekein hefker, hu mevatel ha'inyan shebo haya nikra shalom. He neutralizes the part that makes something shalom, even if it's not fully hefker. Achshavu midras lakol ka'afar. V'zu gedola mehefker shemekan, shemevaklo mios koach u'reshus v'elu v'lo lezulat, v'lo lezulato, elakofer shemidras lako. Klomar, shemisyai shmimenu, shelo litein leiv alav, litlo mishon. V'yavze osa atzo misyai shmimenu, ad shein daito alav, kedavar sheina shelo, v'lo mishumano. So this is what I want to say. Later on, the Meiri quotes, because it's post-Ramban, you know, the notion of Rabbi Yishmael. Shnei dvar menu m'shusel shalom asam m'kasam kinu m'shusel. When he formulates that, just remind me to pick up with this on Tuesday, he formulates it as a kind of knas d'oraisa, which I think is strange, or say strange. I think it's interesting, striking. I don't think that's what the Ramban and the Ran had in mind. But that's how he kind of explains it. It's a kind of a meaning, you didn't do what you're supposed to get rid of the Schametz? You know, to do proper Tashbisa? Even though it's an Isra, now we're going to Ki'ilu Hushola. As opposed to being a pure Dindoraisa in terms of what constitutes the basis for Ba'ira. It's almost like an onesh ba'yura, an onesh extension of ba'yura. That's the line of the Balyamas. What I'm wondering is, I think that's, first of all, a different take. I think there are three takes, the Ramban, very subtly different. The Ramban, the Ran, the Meiri. The Ramban, as far as I know, was the first person to come up with this idea that Rabbi Shmuel is the foundation, you know, for the discrepancies of Bittul being sufficient, or to Bittul being sufficient notwithstanding its discrepancies or its unusual character. As far as I know, the Ramban is the first. But I think there's very subtle differences in his, the Ran's, and the Meiri's formulation. For the Meiri, it's like a, as I say, like an Onesh Dorais, or a Siag Dorais. For the Ramban, it's more a, this reflects that you have to do more, but if you do the more, it'll work. And for the Ran, it's, this is hanging by a thread, and therefore, there's a way to clue in to what would have been, you know, without it. I'll explain all what I mean by all three. But my suffix now, this I want to leave you with, is the Meiri, when he says that Rabbeinu Tam, to answer Rabbeinu Tam against Ramban, oh, it's like Yeush, it isn't true, it isn't Hefker Gamor, but it's like Midras, you know, Afar, right? Like he's also responding to Ramban's question, if it's Hefker, what does that do with Afar, right? So he means to foreshadow what he quotes later on in Rabbi Shmuel, or before he quotes that, he's still trying to say something different. That's what I really think, but I can't prove it. What is he trying to say that's different? I think what he's trying to say different is that there is an element of siluk in Hefker She'ena Gomor too. And that element of Hefker, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is enough already for Bal Yirah. Okay, so we'll pick up on this. So I want to talk about the Hefker part, and then I want to talk about Marm Chalava. First I'll pick up that. I'll be able to, instead of reading the whole Ramban, I'll just do, you know, there's point and counterpoint. And then I want to do the, but it's integrated with this third point, the main point of the Ramban, which is, you know, his, what is his Bittul B'Lev, and his Rabbi Shmuel, how does that fit in? And the relationship between Bir and Bittul, and then, you know, just a few other little things, you know, to finish up. But hopefully Tuesday, and then by Thursday already we can begin the Shaka Mataria, hopefully, on Dalai Lama. Okay, I've got to run because I'm running late, and I can't do that.